Teď co by? After Truma, we're going to Tetzaveh, and here we're also going on with the description with details on details on details about all the parts of the Mishkan, and mainly the Parsha talks about the clothes of the Kohanim. But when we talk about Tetzaveh, we have to approach a few points. And the first one is that, let's see, there is so many times mentioned the verb ve'asita and also ve'lakachta. Parashat Tetzaveh. I'm going, like, if we look at the psukim, we see it starts ve'ata akrev elecha et aharon achicha. Who is ve'ata? Who is the Torah talking? Who is Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to?
Moshe.
Children
of Israel.
No. Aaron Achicha. You shall take your brother clothes. Which brother? Aaron. So what? Who are we talking about? It's very clear who we're talking about.
Okay.
We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, I'm looking at something else.
Well, it says Aaron Achicha. So
it must be Moshe. So I'm going to ask you a small task. Try and find if you see the name of Moshe in this parasha.
Oh, wow. Well, this is the parasha that he's not in.
And it's not just another parasha. Because if you look at the parasha, I think there is no other parasha that God talks with Moshe Rabbeinu so much. Ve'ata, 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 ve'asita, ve'ikravta, ve'asita, ve'asita.
You can look. Moshe.
Where?
When they say your brother, who's his brother?
The name.
Oh,
why do you call his brother is his name?
I mean,
why don't you call Moshe Rabbeinu? Is he not important enough to say his name? Everywhere we see his name, every parsha. And here, if you try and see how many times God orders Moshe Rabbeinu to do something, I don't know if there is another parsha like this. Because you see, a pasuk after pasuk, ve'ata, ve'asita. Here, let's go through a few psukim. Here it takes a long time. That's more. Ve'natata, ve'asita.
Also, truma is with ve'asita.
Yeah, but you have
all the instructions.
There's only instructions, but you see the name of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, ve'asita.
Yeah. But here you don't see the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not at all. Not even once. And the question is,
why?
So there are a few answers. One answer is very simple and is also very important, a very big lesson for us. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Am Yisrael doing the golden calf, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy everybody and I'm going to build a new nation from you. What is Moshe Rabbeinu answering? No, not only no. If you do this, mark me out of the book. And this is if you do it. But God didn't do it. But we learn kilelat tzadik afilu al tnai mitkayemet.
Is it possible that he eliminated Moshe because he's trying to elevate Aaron and his brother for they're going to be Kahanim, something special. So maybe that's why they don't mention Moshe. They're bringing more forth Aaron and the brothers are the key here, not Moshe.
We'll see in a minute that it's also connected to this, but in a different way.
You don't like that?
No, I like it very much. But even if I like it, it's going to be connected to the parasha, but in a different way, in a minute.
Okay. I get tissues here.
Oh, okay. So, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, put it out of his mouth, mark me out of the book, even if it was in a condition that if you do this and it wasn't done, Baruch Hashem, still, a tzaddik said something, something has to happen. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? One parsha, you won't be mentioned. So now another question. Why this parsha? Because in the same parsha, in this parsha, we see that he's giving the keuna to his brother, which is also a part of his punishment. If you remember, when God asked him to go and save Am Yisrael, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? What did he say, sorry? No.
He said no.
And he had an argument with God for a whole week. And God got angry, and God now is paying him off. You didn't want to do, you asked me to send your brother, so now, midah keneged midah, you wanted me to send your brother? Okay, so now you're going to give your brother the keuna gdola. The priesthood is going to go to Aaron. So because in this parsha he is getting punished for this, so he's also not mentioned because of the other thing. Another opinion says that this week that this parsha is being read, Moshe Rabbeinu was born and Moshe Rabbeinu died. Seven in Adar. Zayin be'Adar.
When you think of it, logically, it has to be that way. Moshe cannot be a Kohen and lead the people. You have a Kohen and you need a leader. Why? So here are they going to do it that
okay,
way.
Okay, but it's still a part of a management. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that he could do both jobs. But that's not the thing. He had to give the job now to Aaron, and he's doing it in this parsha. There is another reason that says why this parsha is, because at the same week that we read the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was born and Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what?
So why should they take him out?
Because when we look at the Christians, for example, all their holidays are connected to what?
To their
priest, to Jesus. His birthday is where he went and where he's going. What is everything is connected not to God, but to him. So the Torah wants to show us that when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the greatest guy ever lived on earth,
except one thing.
Yes.
The Torah was given before there was such thing about priest. About the Catholics worrying about it.
And I mean, there's another problem. That's not the main problem. The problem is that in old times, they used to read the Torah in 3 years.
Yeah.
So it didn't... It may be once in 3 years it fall on the same week. But otherwise it wouldn't fall on the same week.
Yeah.
So that's a different issue. But the idea behind it is, why did really Chazal afterwards really did it on the same week that it will come in the same week, whatever, is because of this reason, to show everybody that we don't worship people. We worship only God. And even on the week that our prophet was born and died, we are not even mentioning him in the parsha. To show us that God is only one. There's nobody else instead. We don't pray to nobody else. Even if we go to the greatest tzaddik in the world, we don't pray to him and we don't ask him. We are praying to God and asking God. We can ask God that the tzaddik, his rights that he's got, are going to help us. But we are not praying to the tzaddik. That's, by the way, also one of the reasons that Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know where he's buried. So we won't make an idol out of it. Because you have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest, let's say, the closest human being that got to God. Closest that any human being can. Nobody could get any closer. You can go to graves.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I tell you, but you don't pray. That's,
you haven't prayed to it.
Exactly. You have to be very careful with this because this is idol worship.
Didn't Morris even do that?
Of course, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that there was
a
danger that people will, you know, such a great guy, he talked with God and God talked with him and God said, I'm talking through him. So maybe, you know, people will start praying to him.
It's just one step more to make
it. Yeah, exactly. So that's the reason we don't know where he's buried.
Yeah.
Now, so we have a few very interesting reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in our parsha, which is also a big lesson for us. But the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu said something, and even though God eventually didn't punish Am Yisrael and kill them, so it shouldn't, nothing should happen. God, Moshe Rabbeinu should stay in with no problem. But we say, Shomer piv ulshono, shomer mitzarot nafsho. The one who keeps his mouth keeps out of troubles. And you remember when I mentioned and told you about the guy who is buried in Petach Tikva? I mentioned it 100 times, I think. That he said, I'm willing to be the first guy who's going to be buried in this Beskvoros. And he was the first one. He talked about it on, I think it was Rosh Hashanah. And on Yom Kippur, he was buried there. He was the first one. Until now, you can go into Bet Kvarot Sgula in Petach Tikva. And on the right side, the old back for the old part, you see one of the tombstones standing, and there is written on the tombstone, here is buried the guy who was willing to be the first one to be buried. He said it on, I think, in Rosh Hashanah or somewhere, and he died on Yom Kippur. He asked for it. So we have to be very careful what we say, which is another lesson. Another big lesson here is, and you should take Aaron close to you. In Pasuk 3, and you shall talk to all the wise people. But I want to ask you something. Why doesn't the Torah write simple, as is written in Pasuk Bet, in Pasuk 2, Ve'asita? Not ve'ata ta'ase. And you'll do. Why is the Torah adding ve'ata? You can say, talk to Am Yisrael.
What language is ve'asita? It's past.
Yeah, but that's, I'm not...
It's an instruction.
It's an instruction. It's sivui. Ve'asita.
Instruction is ta'ase.
Yeah, okay, but the whole parsha is like this. Vasita, vasita, because it's a general thing. It's not it's not happening now. He's getting instruction. He's getting general instruction about what has to be done. Vasita, 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 vasita. But the point is, why, if you go on to the parsha, we will see that always, the Torah is very stingy with words, and every word or letter have a big lesson to it. And if you can say the pasuk without using the word, so it must be that this word has got a meaning. You can look in pasuk 13, it's written Vasita. And then Ta'aseota. And then pasuk 15, Vasita. Before Venatata. Pasuk 22, Vasita. Then we can go on and on and on. So why, in the beginning, is Ve'ata akrev elecha, and also Pasuk 3, Ve'ata tedaber. Because I can say, I can take the Ve'ata out, and daber bnei Yisrael, daber kol chachmei lev. Everybody will understand what I mean. So why is the Torah adding the verb and you, Ve'ata? And let's connect it with the fact that it's not written Moshe Yedaber or Vata Moshe, it's Vata. In life, sometimes we are getting a job to do. It can be a mitzvah, it can be in the normal life, but it looks to us, it's big on us. We cannot do this. So normally we say, this is not a job for us. This is for high-level people. Not for us, we are simple people. Says the Torah, Ve'ata, The Torah is talking here not to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is talking the Torah is talking to each one of us. You and you and you and you will do what's written in the parsha. Because if you remember, we talked about it, that all the details are really a big lesson for us for life. It's not just details and numbers and description or whatever. It's details to teach us how to behave.
Also,
and it's not only that's the order are not giving to Moshe Rabbeinu. They are giving to each one of us. So the Torah is not mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu because the Torah wants to tell us. It's obvious that we talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, but we want to understand. We are not only talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. God is telling us, I'm talking to each one of you. This is your job. Not he, the rabbi will do it. Ah, but I don't have to do it. No, each one of us has to do it. That's ve'atatak ve'atakrev.
How would he determine the wise people?
What do you mean?
Says here, you should go to the wise people.
And
how does he determine who's wise and who's not wise?
Where do you see wise people? What's written there?
This is the Heiligkeit.
You should speak to the wise-hearted people.
What?
Wise-hearted people.
What does it mean? Where comes the wisdom from? From your heart or from your mind?
Your mind.
So what's written here? Mind? Heart. Everybody can be clever in his heart. And clever in the heart means be a mensch.
Mm.
Be a mensch. It's a very good question.
Very good.
Chacham lev. That's why, that's even chacham lev. The Torah doesn't want you to be clever in the mean of you know everything. The Torah wants you to be a mensch. Chacham lev. Have a smart heart. Not a smart mind. Connect your mind with your heart. You know all those clever people, they look at people sometimes from up there. Oh, who you are? Who are you? Huh? That's not the way of the Torah. Derech Eretz Kadma LeTorah.
So you need the word added empathy.
You can, but the Torah used the Chachmei Lev. I think it's a very clever way of saying to that the real wisdom that the Torah is talking about is the wisdom of the heart. And we all know, you know, when love is spread, life looks much better. And that's the real wisdom. Because we want, what do we want from life? We want to be happy. We want to enjoy life.
They tried that in the 60s, the love children.
Yeah, but that's, you see, that's exactly the point. You see, if it's not connected, it's a very, very important point. It's exactly, people weren't talking about love, but they don't know what love is. What is love? Love is willing to give to the other. That's love. Otherwise, it's ego. Everybody wants to be loved. But the question is, what is love? Love is that somebody does whatever you want to? That's not love. Love is that somebody is doing good things to you? That you enjoy being with him? That's love? No. Love is the power of giving. And you can see it in life. If you take a puppy, a dog, you grow him, you feed him, you treat him, what happens eventually? You love him. It's a dog! I'm a dog, an animal! And you see people, what they do with their dogs, it's unbelievable. Because when you give, you love. So real love is, it's not even giving, it's much more than it. It's connecting. It's giving and connecting, that's love. That's real love, and that's what we talk about. To connect with each other. And that's Chacham Lev. And what is Ve'ata? Each one of us. The Torah is not talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is talking to through us to Moshe Rabbeinu. said, you and you and you, you all should do the job. And see something unbelievable. The Torah is telling us, and to be accurate, the Torah is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, ואתה אקרב אליך, פרק כ"ח פסוק 1, ואתה אקרב אליך את אהרון אחיך ואת בניו איתו, and you bring your brother unto you, and his sons with him, from among Bnei Israel. What's the Torah telling us? You take Aaron and his sons. Okay, I understand. What is from among Bnei Israel? Mitoch Bnei Israel. What is the Torah trying to tell us? A leader has to be connected to the people. He has to come from the people. He has to know how the people act. It's like they have this story in the Gemara. Two Rabbonim going on the way and they're telling each other, let's go near a whorehouse and near an idol worshiper place. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? He says, let's go through there and we'll go against the temptation to do anything, and we go on. Let's do this test. What do you think about it? Is it right or wrong?
Temptation
wrong. What?
No, you're not supposed to fight.
Not supposed to do the accident. Okay. So the Gemara really doesn't know what to go. So the answer is that they...
But you can't test Isahara. You can't test them.
You shouldn't test. But there is a point there. And what is the point? Very interesting. A rabbi stands and gives a lecture to his congregation. You are not allowed to do this, and you're not allowed to do this, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. No, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't play, gamble, you shouldn't look at girls, you shouldn't. And the congregation is looking at him. And everybody is telling to himself, what is this rabbi talking about? He sits in his yeshiva. He is not involved in what's happening outside. He is not connected to the environment, to the people. He's not got no temptation. A big tzaddik, he is telling us that every day we go in the street, we have our jobs in the street. We work in factories, in offices, in shops that have men and women. When we go on the way, there are pubs and other places and women going in a, let's say, not a modest way in the street, and people are talking not nicely in the street. How do you fight this? You can't. He's talking. He sits in the yeshiva. If we would have sat in the yeshiva all day and not be influenced by the street, yes, he's right. Are they right or wrong? Is the rabbi right or wrong? The truth is somewhere in the middle. Yes, that's the truth. Because a rabbi that is not connected to his congregation, he cannot help them with it. He cannot talk with them. He's not connected. As we said before, in order to have an influence on people, we have to be connected.
It's the old story. You can't respect somebody who's really not gone through more or less of what you have gone through.
So that is what those two rabbis in the Gemara wanted to do. They wanted to understand their people, their congregation. They want to understand what's going through their minds. What are they standing against during the day? So they can understand it and talk with them in their language. When we're talking about Chazara B'Tshuva, doing Tshuva, who are the best people that have the influence on people to make Tshuva? Those who made Tshuva by themselves. Because they know what it's all about. And this is what the Torah is telling us. Mitoch Bnei Israel. The power of Aaron was the power that he was connected to the people. He knew how they think. He knew what they are going through. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe at this moment in time, is not so connected because he's getting higher and higher and higher every minute. So maybe even from this reason, we needed Aaron to go in this job. Mitoch Bnei Israel. Another lesson here is a leader has to come from the people. When we, Be'ezrat Hashem, after Me'avishrim, or maybe the Mashiach will come before, or men, we go up and we're going to be judged. Who are going to be the judges? Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rambam? Who is going to be the judge? Who are going to be the judges?
Our peers.
No?
No?
No idea?
Oh, yeah.
I tell you who.
Any God.
Who is your rabbi here? Who are the great people of our generation? You tell me. Rav Eliashiv. Maral Rav Shach Zatzal. Died. Rav Kanievsky. Avadi Yosef. They are going to judge us. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot judge us. Because we cannot be judged by somebody who lived hundreds of thousands of years before us and doesn't even know what we're going through in life. You cannot demand the same attitude and the same behavior from our generation as 10 generations before. Do you agree?
Yeah.
But we say, En chadash tachat ha-shemesh. But we say, Yiftach bedoro keshmuel bedoro. Yiftach was a king, and they say he's, he wasn't a very, let's say, not a great tzaddik.
Yeah.
But the Torah says, you have to listen to him, because he in his generation is the same way as Shmuel HaNavi in his generation. Unbelievable. But that's the way it is. When you want to buy shoes, you go to the shoe shop. If you buy shoes two sizes bigger, what's happening? Either you fall and break something, or the shoe falls, but you cannot walk with it. Now, if you buy smaller shoes, either they don't even go on you, and if they go, they're going to hurt you. So you need to have shoes at your size. The same way, you need a judge and your size, a leader on your size. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So today, when we have our gdoilim, we have to listen to them. We cannot have an excuse. Who is this guy telling us what to do? Is he Moshe Rabbeinu? If Moshe Rabbeinu would come here and tell me what to do, I'm going to listen. But this rabbi, who is he to tell me what to do? If the Rambam will come out of his grave and tell me what to do, I'm going to listen to the Rambam. But he? Who is he to tell me what to do? The Torah tells you. The leader comes from the people. Yiftach bedoro keshmuel bedoro. The level of the leader is according to the level of the people. It goes, by the way, both ways. And it
right.
Shows you,
the
unfortunately, if we look at our leaders today, I'm not talking about a spiritual leader, but let's say talk about political leaders, the picture doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. And if we take this like it's written here, it means that we also don't look good. What can we do? That's the way it is. So that's what the Torah is telling us. When the Torah is telling us that you should take Aaron and his sons mitoch bnei Israel lechanuli, they can be priests if they come from the people. Otherwise, it's a problem. So as we said, Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in our parsha, but the real truth is that he is not mentioned like on the surface. But if we take the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the name Moshe, okay? Mem, Shin, Hey. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if there is what you say, a gematria, the to fold the letters. So Mem is Mem and Mem. Okay? Mem is 40. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Shin is Yud and Nun. Shin, Yud and Nun. Yud is 10. And Nun is 50. So we have here 60. Hey, Aleph. Okay? What you don't see. This is the letter you see. This is inside the letter. Yeah. In Kabbalah, they use it a lot. So we have here 40 and 60 and 1. 100
one.
And 1. You know how many psukim you have in our parsha?
101.
Yes. Okay. So is there? Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay. Oh? Sorry?
Just, I can write on mine as well.
Nope, I can send it to you. I can send it to you. So it's unbelievable, you know, the things you can find out. One of the interesting point is also that Moshe Rabbeinu has to give the job to Aaron. So you would think that he feels something, or the point is, not only is not feeling bad about it, he's feeling very good about it. And we are being told, Ine matov umanaim shevet achim gam yachad. You know this song? Ine matov umanaim. Everybody knows it. You know who we're talking about? Ine matov. Here, look how good it is. Brothers sitting together. You know what brothers we're talking about? Moshe and Aaron. And what is going on there is keshemen hatov ayored al hazakan zekan Aaron ayored al pi midotav. Like the oil that goes on the beard of Aaron. What oil are we talking about? In our parsha, he's being crowned to be the priest. You put an oil on him. The point is, it's written ala zakan, zakan Aaron. Twice zakan. A beard is written twice. Because it's written, keshemen atov, ayored al zakan Aaron. What is ala zakan, zakan Aaron? So the explanation there is, the first zakan is the beard of Moshe. The second one is Aaron. Now, why are they mentioned, both of them? When Moshe was putting the oil on his brother, they were so close that he felt that it is going on himself. So he was afraid that he's doing something that he's not allowed to, because you're not allowed to touch this oil. Only the one that you put on him the oil to be a priest, he is the one who is allowed that the oil will touch him. Now, if the oil is touching him, so there's a problem. And the Torah is this, Yinem atov umanaim shevet achim gam yachad. It says, look at those two brothers. They feeling to each other, they're so close, that they feel each other. We say, Kol Yisrael arevim ze bazeh. People think it's zelaze. It's not zelaze. It's not one to each other. It's one in each other. Ze baze. We are, and that's much greater. We are mixed. In other words, a part of me is in you, and a part of you is in me, and that's the way all Am Yisrael is built, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron feeling. What was the great thing of Aaron? What is he being all the time mentioned for? Ohev shalom, verodev shalom. He is the man of peace. He is the man of love. And Moshe and Aaron are really fulfilling each other. And they're not only fulfilling, but they're like one. To the point that they feel each other physically. It's like with the twins. With twins, sometimes, identical twins, if somebody happens to somebody in the other side of the world, suddenly the other twin feels it. He really feels it. So this is another lesson.
There's a term for it. I can't remember it though.
When we build a Mishkan, the Mishkan should be built with love. That's why Aaron is being chosen at this moment in time to become a priest. Because we are in the middle of building the Mishkan. It's not the end yet. It's the middle, as I wrote this week on the daf. It's like suddenly the Torah is telling us, "Ve'ata akrev elecha et Aaron achicha." Because now we come to the point of bringing the human being into the picture. And as we say, by the way, another interesting thing I have to tell you. It's very interesting that when we look, remember last week we says, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham." And mikdash is singular, and betocham is plural. So it should be, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocho." So what are we being explained? "V'shachanti betocham." Betoch bnei Israel, betoch kol echad ve'echad mimchem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to dwell among us, inside us. So we think it's a midrash. It's not a midrash. It's written clearly in our parsha. The funny thing is that only this year I found it. I connected those two things. It's unbelievable. Let's go and see. It's in, I think, in the end of the parsha. Pasuk 45 in Perek Kaftet. It's unbelievable. Only this year I connected it.
I shall rest my presence.
Where?
Among the children of Israel.
Exactly what we said last week. But there, it's not written. Here it's written very... That's a pshat. V'asu li mikdash shechanti b'docham. You tell me. Veshachanti betoch bnei Israel. Very clearly, that's all the meaning of the Mishkan. Not the building. Veshachanti betoch bnei Israel tilaim lelokim. You know, all those years, I learned it, and I looked this, and I saw it, and only this year, I connected those two things together. It's a pshat. It's not a midrash, it's not a peirush, it's a pshat. וידעו כי אני, the next pasuk, וידעו כי אני השם אלוקים אשר הוצאתי ממצרים לשוכני בתוכם again. All the buildings, the first temple, the second temple, the Mishkan, they all have no meaning if Am Israel is not doing what's supposed to do. The Mishkan, the temple is inside of us. And the minute we will build it inside of us, we will have the Beit HaMikdash HaShishi coming down. That's what's written here. Unbelievable. And I want to end the shiur with a story. I think I told it to you last year also, but...
it's okay.
It's a thing that we have to understand. You know, the main thing is that we are surrounded, really surrounded. We talk about it so many times. We're surrounded with so many haters, with so many people talking against each other. Those accidents recently. And all you see also the, you know, somebody said today, I don't know, I'm not agreeing with him, but a guy today in Shul said something terrible. A little strange, but no. He says that everything that God is doing is because you did something. So if an accident happened, it doesn't happen just because of I don't know what. This guy did something, maybe he did it inside and nobody saw what he did, but nobody dies and nobody suffers for no reason. I don't agree with this declaration or whatever you call it for a very simple reason. It's not right, it's wrong. Because we don't know the cheshbonos of the ribono shel olam. But what I'm saying, why do I talk about it? Because if you look recently, how many accidents are happening with the Haredim? Because at a certain point, I think they thought that they are above everybody. They live their life and they think that they are not a part of, as we say, mitoch bnei Yisrael. They are something special. And this arrogant maybe is causing them damages. Because God is telling them it's going to affect everybody in Am Yisrael. It doesn't matter if you have a long beard or no beard at all. If you have a kippah, a black one, or your yellow one, or not have a kippah at all. Am Yisrael are one. And we have to share our faith. It doesn't matter if we sit in yeshiva and learn, or if we go to the army, or if we have a job, if we are Haredim, if we are Chilonim, it doesn't matter. We are the chosen people, and we are considered as one. And you see, when you look, the Sinat Chinam is everywhere. They have what they call Apeleg HaYerushalmi. That's in the Haredi world. They have now a fight between, I'm not going to go to names. And they call them Apeleg HaYerushalmi, going against those in Bnei Brak. It's terrible. The Satmar Rabbi. Terrible. I'm not going to go into because it's hurting. How do we want the Mashiach to come? How do we want to build a temple? Why was Aaron Avinu chosen, as we said? Ohev shalom verodef shalom.
Yeah, and yet they do such maase chesed.
I'm not. Baruch Hashem. I think you misunderstand me. My opinions are Haredi opinions. I'm sorry to tell you, maybe we like it or don't like it, but my personal opinion is a Haredi opinion.
But you know, it starts in childhood. In London, two houses with a wall in between. One house is Satmar, one house is Lubavitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Lubavitch kids shouted over to the Satmar pigs. And these are children.
Yeah, yeah.
In London.
Yeah. And you know, they say in the Gemara, Shuta de Yenuka de Avu de Yime. But what the kid is talking in the market is what he hears at home. That's the Gemara saying very clearly. Exactly. The chesed that they are doing, but that's the real Haredi. That's exactly what I'm saying. A Haredi is not a figure of how you look. We're talking in our parsha about Bigdei Kohen Gadol. What is so important about the clothes? Really? Most of the parsha is talking about the clothes of Kohen Gadol. Lechavod uletiferet. Why? When do we make so much of clothes? Because people are telling us, Al tistakel bakankan la mashiach. Don't look at how it looks from the outside, look at how it's inside. And from the other side, we will do a whole ceremony of clothes. What is Yaakov Avinu asking? Itenli lechem leachol vebeged lilbosh. Close again. What is Adam HaRishon doing? God is putting clothes on him.
Look at the beggar of Yosef.
So in other words, clothes are important. And they have to reflect the inside. That's the problem. The outside has to reflect the inside. But if it doesn't reflect the inside, it's terrible. The inside is the most important thing. But in order to function, what you have inside has to come outside, because otherwise nothing is going to work. A policeman has to needs uniform. A rabbi has to look like a rabbi.
It makes a statement.
Nevertheless, if you are a responsible guy, and if you have go for, even in business, if you go to a business meeting, if you haven't put yourself with a suit, nobody's going to look at you. In Japan, they will go out for meeting if you don't come with the suit. Because it's not an honor.
That's how the education broke down when they took away all the... They said, you can't tell anybody how to dress.
And you see how it looks.
It did.
You know, somebody told me, he used to go a lot to Japan. He says, you go into an office building. There are no walls. All the girls that sit there, they all look the same. Long skirts, shirts close to here. They're not religious. But that's a code of work. That's the way you look when you come to work.
Exactly. You're kidding? In Japan, if you cross your legs and you show the bottom of your feet, that's the biggest thing there.
So we, the goyim have to tell us how to dress. So in other words, we see that clothes are important.
Yeah.
But they have to reflect what you are inside. And we all know, if we have nice clothes, we feel good.
What did Rav Peretz say? A person's clothes are his tudat zehut.
Yeah, exactly.
A person's clothes are their identity card.
And that's exactly the point. So in other words, if you put the clothes on you and they've got no meaning, and people think that this has a meaning because it's supposed to have a meaning, that's the most terrible thing that can be.
Yeah.
In other words, if you dress like a Haredi, but you don't act like a Haredi, that's much more, that it's worse than if you do the same thing without this custom.
The whole education.
I know Purim is coming by, but you know Purim is a different thing. Yes, sorry.
The whole educational system fell apart once the teachers walked in with jeans and sweatshirts.
That's our parsha.
That was the whole thing.
That's our parsha.
The system went kaput.
Yeah, that's our parsha. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all hope that Am Yisrael, with no different what they wear and how they look, would behave first of all nice to each other and love each other. And if we start doing this, no matter who we are and what we wear, maybe then all those terrible things that are happening are going to stop. And we are, Be'ezrat Hashem, Nizkeh Le'Bi'at HaMashiach B'Mehra Bi'Yameinu. Amen.